Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Let your dominion come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set out.' And the friend answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though the friend will not get up and provide anything because of the friendship, at least because of the neighbor's persistence, the friend will get up and provide whatever is needed. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and the children would come forward to help with the sermon. That would be very appreciated. Welcome, everyone. Good to see you all. Yeah. Welcome, everyone. In our lesson today, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And so I think it's a good thing that we all think about how to pray and what to pray for. So I'm wondering, I would really like to ask what you guys would like to pray for. Can you tell me a thing, a good thing to pray for? Yes, Rosie. Rosie's praying for her sister and her pets that they would be safe and healthy. Good. Yes. What should we pray for?
Forgot.
You forgot. Well,
for God.
Yes. We give thanks for God, huh? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes. For trees and for nature, yeah. Everyone in the whole world. That's excellent. That's excellent. Yes. Pandas? Ah, yes. So there's a nature theme. And we certainly need to be praying for all the creatures, for the trees that give us oxygen, and for the good creation that gives us all life. And who does Jesus pray for? Oh, yeah, that's right. Well said, all of us. So let's gather around and say a prayer. Can you come up with me and we'll join hands? Oh God, we give you thanks for this day, and we pray for the goodness of creation that you give us, We pray for the health of our creation, for the trees, for the pandas, for our pets, that they are safe and grow. We pray for everyone in the world, especially those who are in need of care and love. And we pray that God would use each of us as living prayers to care for one another in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all.
2 years. Oh.
Was Esme praying too? Okay. We bring our children forward in part because aren't they living prayers in our lives? They reveal to us what we should ask for and what the care that we are encouraged to give. And as I think Jesus is saying to us today, as we pray for our children, as we know how to give them good things that they ask for, they reveal to us the good things that we ought to give to one another, to the world, to creation, to all of God's well-being. So we give thanks for the prayers, the living prayers that they are in our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. So, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy Sodom. But I think you all know, in the very next chapter, just a few verses later, Sodom is destroyed. Fire and brimstone that we all have heard about most of our lives. So what to make of this development? Is it a contradiction? A contradiction in God's heart and being? Or should Abraham have just kept bargaining? A grin fell across my face, because I think most of us, Ruth, who read the lesson, sent me an email this week and said, I don't know if I can do this lesson without channeling Mel Brooks. But it says something about the humor in the midst of serious situations. Maybe that's a good thing to think about in terms of prayer as well, that God has a sense of humor and that it's a healing matter. But still, is this a contradiction or not? Should Abraham have kept bargaining? Do not be angry, Lord, if I speak just once more. How about 5? 4? 3? 2? 1? As we read this exchange, I think it's clear that the purpose and intention is for us to understand that God's forgiveness really is boundless, and that God intends to forgive, to foster life, to give life. That forgiveness and life really is God's purpose, God's justice, God's intention. We might call it restorative justice. But still, we know that the city is destroyed. But I think it's more accurate to say that it is destroyed by themselves. Yes, that infamous fire and brimstone falls down in the story. But the city is undone because they are determined to do violence against the strangers. You know, the folks that go to the city, these strangers are actually two angels in the story that go to Lot. But they are determined to do violence against them. Whoever is from outside the boundaries of the city or outside the boundaries of our group, our kind, those we're familiar with. In the story, again, these are angels. They're really messengers from God. But aren't we all? Aren't our children? In reality, the people that show up at Sodom, they are the other, seeking acceptance. They are to be received as those who are worthy of our friendship, of our care and life, as family, as children of God. Now, the sexual violence that we've associated, and I don't think we can read this story without kind of that coming to mind, with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah really has nothing to do with physical attraction or desire, and certainly no concept of love between folks of similar genders. But this story is all about the deep violence of humiliation, of domination, of controlling those who are unlike the people of the city, who have come to their city hoping and looking to receive life, to give life as well. What I want to say this morning is that is the ongoing dynamic of the world, of building community or destroying it, of engendering life or embracing death, of restoration, call it redemption, call it drawing near to God, or fire and brimstone of the soul that consumes communal life worse than any catastrophe from the sky. But what of the creator of life, to whom we are encouraged to draw near, as Abraham in the story, to pray for life, for restoration? Are we encouraged to do the same, to come this morning and say, "Do not be angry, Lord. If I speak just once more, will you save us for 5, for 4, for 3, for 2, for 1? We gather with the children and the whole community of faith, and we pray. We draw near as Abraham drew near, as Sarah drew near in her hope for life. We draw near seeking life, and we pray. For the sake of one, says God, I will save. We say it in our confession. For the sake of one, for the sake of Jesus, who is one with us all in faith. God looks upon you and me as God looks upon Jesus. I will give life to you, says God, as I give life to my Son. For the sake of one, for the sake of all, I will give, I will save, I will restore, I will resurrect. The coming of Jesus, the story of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, is God's eternal answer to Abraham, to Sarah, to us all who pray for, who hope for, who long for life. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is praying. It says in a certain place, but it's not explicit about what Jesus prays for. But I know what he prays for. Jesus prays for us. Will you save these for my sake? He is praying for us all, knowing that his whole life is this prayer for our healing, for the binding of our wounds, for the binding us together in God's community, God's dominion. Knowing that, as he's on his way to Jerusalem, that his death and resurrection is both prayer and answer to prayer. Jesus is praying for us, and he is answering our prayer with care, with love, with forgiveness, with life. And so, as those listen to him, as his disciples ask, as we listen, Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, Mother, Holy Parent of us all, holy be your name. To be holy is to be set apart, to set boundaries. But God in Christ Jesus is with us all. Emmanuel, the very name itself says it. The prayer that Jesus teaches, the prayer that he is himself in his being, announces that God's holiness is present with every person. There is no exclusion. Let your dominion, your rule, let this dominion of inclusion, of welcome, of salvation for all, your community come and be with us, a community that is not defined by whom we won't let in, excluding those who are not like us. Don't let us give in to the time of trial. Don't we face such trials these days? To use the writer's words from the letter to the Colossians, don't let us be taken captive by the elemental spirits of the universe, The elemental spirits that rule in the world, violence against women, racism, violence against gay and transgendered folks, hatred and violence against immigrants, hatred and violence against the very poor. We are awash in our world in these elemental destructive spirits in such sphere. But we are called and empowered by the forgiveness and promises of God to live in what the writer calls the fullness of Christ, and what we also pray for in our confession, to let us now live in the fullness of Jesus the Christ. For that fullness is the inclusion of all into our hearts and into our communities. We pray, perhaps for one thing, the Holy Spirit, which is a spirit of inclusion, of welcome. I think the children were acknowledging that and teaching us that this day, a spirit of relationship, of holy community with all folks, the spirit that sees through the destructive elemental spirits of the universe that seem to crush us so badly these days, the spirit that can open our hearts to see that all people are our children, and then to give good gifts of life, of welcome, of hope, of spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.